and make her lose her concentration. They were peaceful, and she supports free speech.
I was so thrilled. I can't tell you how wonderful it was to hear her support them. We can't expect that from athletes all the time, but when it happens, it's thrilling. And I think it was so interesting in the top of your show, whether it's Nazi, you know, fighting Nazi chants being said or anything else. We're seeing people using sports as a place to debate and to protest and to struggle. And I love it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us again. Brenda Elsey of Hofstra University in Long Island, co-host of the feminist podcast, Burn It All Down. Coming up, we go to Mexico, where the Supreme Court's decriminalized abortion at the federal level. And in the presidential race, the two top contenders are both women. So a woman will become the next president of Mexico for the first time in history. Stay with us. Spanish rapper Mala Rodriguez here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we turn now to Mexico, where the country's Supreme Court's issued a historic ruling that decriminalizes abortion at the federal level. In a unanimous decision Wednesday, the court stripped federal criminal penalties related to abortions. At a celebration after the ruling, student Marlene Moran welcomed the change.
Mexico is an incredibly misogynistic country that still has deeply rooted traditional values. Abortion being legal and having a legal context that supports our decisions represents a big change. I hope we will be able to see a change in mentality in the population so they stop harassing pregnant people who decide to stop their pregnancies.
Wednesday's ruling will not make abortions accessible throughout Mexico because laws banning the procedure are still in place in 20 of Mexico's 32 states. Pro-choice activists will now work to roll back those restrictions. For more, we're joined by two guests. In Mexico City, Rebecca Ramos is with us. She's executive director of the reproductive rights group HIRE. And Cristina Rosero is a senior legal advisor for the Center for Reproductive Rights in Bogota, Colombia, where the center was part of the lawsuit that resulted in the decriminalization of abortion in Colombia last February. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Rebecca Ramos, let's begin with you in Mexico City. Talk about the significance of what just took place in Mexico.
Good morning, Amy, and good morning, Cristina. It's great to see you, and thank you for having me. And we're thrilled. This is the first time that the Supreme Court decided on abortion, and it has an impact at the national level. So right now, we can avoid very important obstacles to provide services for the federal hospitals in the whole country.
And Cristina, if you can talk about the lawsuit that your group has been involved with that has led to this, whether in Colombia or right now in Mexico.
Of Causa Justa, who was the one who brought this issue to the light, especially because in Colombia we had three exceptions before, since 2006. But it was clear for us that it was not enough because women and girls, especially those who face multiple inequalities, wasn't able to access abortion in reality. There were a lot of obstacles. There were criminalization, especially for young women who didn't have access to information or for the healthcare system. So basically for us, it was clear that the elimination of the crime of abortion was extremely important to eliminate most of the barriers that women and pregnant people face when accessing abortion. In the case of Colombia, we managed to get from the Constitutional Court a decriminalization of 24 weeks. And after that, we can still apply the three exceptions that we had already implemented in 2006. This is why we are definitely celebrating this ruling in Mexico, because it shows a trend in our region in which we are understanding the importance of not regulating abortion through the penal code or the criminal law, and in a better way, regulating it as an issue of public health and as an issue of human rights. And this is an extremely good step that builds up in this precedent on Colombia. So here in Colombia, we're definitely celebrating with our sisters in Mexico for this achievement. Mm.
And Rebecca Ramos, if you can explain how it works in Mexico, access to abortion still considered unlawful in two-thirds of Mexican states, but people in those states can still get abortions if they go to federal clinics. Explain how accessible those are. What's the difference between the local clinic and the federal clinic?
Yes, of course. Well, here in Mexico, we are a federal state as a state, United States. But the thing is that in terms of the regulation of abortion, we have the criminal topic that is at the local state. And in case of the public services of health, we have two levels, the federal and the state level. And at the state level, we have already 12 states that has been decriminalized abortion, whether at the parliaments or for judicial decisions. There is two, Coahuila and Aguascalientes. But also, the federal hospitals bring services to the population, and they cover almost the 70% of people in the country. But before these Wednesday decisions, we have at the federal level the crime of abortion, the absolute criminalization of abortion. So that made impossible to the federal services of health to provide the services. That is why yesterday on Wednesday, we celebrate so much this decision for the Supreme Court, because with this decision, the federal services have to provide abortion services.
I mean, there's something very interesting happening also between the United States and Mexico. As women win this battle over decriminalization, though you have much further to go in all of these states, in the United States, reproductive rights are being severely curtailed. And now, looking at a piece by Jonathan Bruce in ABC 13, new ordinances would ban driving through cities and counties en route to abortion care. And what this means on the border between Texas and Mexico, that anti-abortion groups in Texas are getting more aggressive to trying to stop women from getting the procedure out of state. And maybe even in Mexico, that if they criminalize women making their way through a county or a city, that makes it illegal to even travel to somewhere like Mexico to get an abortion. I mean, the focus in the United States is always people trying to get into the United States. The question now is people, Cristina Rosero, trying to leave the United States to get an abortion in Mexico.
Yes, sadly, all the rollbacks that are going on in the U.S. are unacceptable, and we definitely are really concerned about all the impacts that the decision of Dobbs had since last year. As the Center of Reproductive Rights, we know that more than 14 states have banned abortion in different ways or creating limits to the access to this service. And the most concerning thing is that the most affected with this type of bans are women who are facing multiple ways of discrimination, for example, migrant women or women who face poverty because they don't have access to the healthcare system. In this sense, we definitely are concerned for all the rollbacks. And it shows how right now Latin America is actually leading the conversation on the protection of reproductive rights. And of course, this milestone in Mexico keeps building on that. We think it's unacceptable that women in the U.S. are facing this type of obstacles. And we definitely call for a change in this type of protections because it is important for them to access to abortion. We know from the evidence that banning abortion is not going to avoid that the abortions occur. Abortion is going to be a reality anyway. The thing is that banning abortion, it just creates risks to women and pregnant people who need access to abortion because they're going to go for procedures that probably could be unsafe. So it is important to legalize and decriminalize abortion because this is the only way to stop mortality regarding unsafe procedures, but also because it is an important recognition of the autonomy of women and people who can get pregnant and their life projects. So definitely, I think we in Latin America right now, there's a really important conversation because countries that are a reference for the entire region, such as Mexico, Argentina, and Colombia, are making changes going through a recognition of that autonomy. And we would love that in the States, we can have better regulations that don't ban, especially the women who face more inequalities, who have the more difficult conditions to access to the healthcare system.
And Rebecca Ramos, your group HIRE, your reproductive rights group in Mexico, is behind the lawsuit that led to the Supreme Court decision. Of course, in the United States, it's the other way. The Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. So I'm wondering if you can talk about what led to this legal path that now has decriminalized abortion in Mexico, and what advice you have for people in the United States.
Well, first of all, in Chile, we have been working on the legal path for 30 years. We have been putting on track some legal strategies, not also at the judiciary branch, but also with the congresses and also with the executive branch. But the work we have done with the Supreme Court since 2000, when we started to have some resolutions, not so good as the Wednesday resolution, but that has been very important to work with the justices, but not only with the justices of the Supreme Court in Mexico, but also with the staff and the people who are actually writing the drafts and the resolutions. So that is part of our work. And I wouldn't say that I'm going to give an advice to the U.S. Organization, but I can share with them that we in Mexico, we have worked at different branches, as I said, in terms of the judiciary branch, but also the executive and the legislative branch. But also, and I think that it is something that we share with the United States, is the importance to work at the state level, not only at the federal level, and most of all in a situation nowadays in the states with this Supreme Court that is very conservative. So I think that in the states, of course, there are more conservative congresses than others. But I think that it has been very interesting how in Mexico has worked the job and the technical advice with those with the state level of authorities.
And I wanted to ask you about the political landscape now in Mexico, Rebecca. I mean, you have the two presidential contenders, the top contenders, are both women, which means in 2024, you'll have a woman president, most likely, and abortion is decriminalized. The significance of this and how Mexico came to this point.
I think that what is happening right now in the political escape is it's really important, most of all in terms of representation and also on political participation of women. It's the first time that a woman would be a president in our country. Just before, there has been some women candidates for the president, but none of them had a real chance to become a president. So I think that it is a great time in terms of political participation, but it is also true that in a state level and a municipal level, there still have a lot of violence, a political violence against women. I think that in terms of representation and visibility, what is happening right now with the two women candidates for the president is it's undoubtedly a step forward for our political rights here in Mexico.
Just naming those two women, the former Mexico City mayor, Claudia Sheinbaum, is also a climate scientist. She's with AMLO's party, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, the current president, and the opposition candidate, Xochitl Galvez. I want to thank you both for being with us. This has been a fascinating discussion, and we'll continue to follow reproductive rights developments throughout Latin America. Rebecca Ramos, executive director of the reproductive rights group JIRE, speaking to us from Mexico City, and Cristina Rosero, senior legal advisor for the Center for Reproductive Rights based in Bogota, Colombia. This is Democracy Now! When we come up back, we go to the dire conditions inside the Fulton County Jail, where Donald Trump and his 18 co-defendants were recently booked. 10 prisoners have now died in the jail's custody this year, the latest last Sunday. Stay with us. Steve Gunn and David Moore, featuring Bing and Ruth. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We end today's show in Atlanta with an update from the Fulton County Jail, where Donald Trump and his 18 co-defendants face RICO charges were recently processed. The jail was in the spotlight before Trump arrived, after it came under federal investigation for the death of LaShawn Thompson, who was allegedly eaten alive by insects and bed bugs while living in filth, imprisoned in his cell. His family reached a $4 million settlement with Fulton County last month. Now another man has died in Fulton County custody, the 10th this year. 24-year-old Chandre Delmore was found unresponsive in his cell August 31st after spending 5 months in the Fulton County Jail. Preliminary findings show the otherwise healthy Delmore died Sunday of cardiac arrest. He was given a compassionate release bond the day after he was taken to the hospital. His family said by the time they were told Delmore was in intensive care, there was no brain activity. This is his mother, Natasha Holloman.
My son was so loving. He wouldn't harm anybody. He didn't deserve to die like this. He had his whole life ahead of him. I can't even understand getting a phone call saying he's in ICU. I wasn't expecting to see my son in the condition that he was in when I came out here. I thought I would be able to take my son with me back home. But that didn't happen. And I want answers. I want to know what happened to my son. I want to know why he had to die.
For more, we're joined by Mauli Mel Davis, attorney for the family of Chandre Delmore. Welcome to Democracy Now! Thanks for joining us from Atlanta. Explain what you understand happened. I was finding it hard to say the prison granted him compassionate release in light of what has taken place.
Good morning, Amy. And this is, again, another tragedy in the Fulton County Jail. And what happened is a mystery to this family, to all of us. Chandre was a, by all accounts, a healthy 24-year-old who they say has died as a result of cardiac arrest. So right now, as we speak, we are preparing for a second independent autopsy so that we can try to get some answers that this family so desperately deserves. But this is systemic. This is not a one-off, as you mentioned in the intro. This has been ongoing in the Fulton County Jail. Our firm has three other families who have lost loved ones in the Fulton County Jail over the last 18 months.
Now, just understand what took place before last Sunday. Chandre was 24 years old, found unresponsive in a cell, and then what happened?
Then it's our understanding that there was some delay in performing in an attempt to resuscitate him, and then he was transported to Grady Hospital. By the time he was at Grady Hospital, from all the reports that the family has received, he was already likely brain dead. And they arrived. There was no brain activity. They had no conversations with him. He was non-responsive by the time they arrived, and they flew in from Louisiana the very next day that they heard the news. And so, again, it's really inexplicable how this could happen to a healthy young man, and we have not received any answers. And so we're really asking for an extraordinary measure by the Fulton County Sheriff to release and open the jail up and allow us access to go in, view video for ourselves, as well as do interviews with the inmates who were present, as well as the detention officers who were present. And the reason that this is unprecedented is that in most instances, they want you to wait until their investigation is over. At this stage, with as many deaths as they've had, it's our position that we should have equal access and be performing our investigation at the same time they're performing theirs, because theirs have delivered no answers. And again, it is not ended this crisis in the Fulton County Jail.
And just to be clear, 24-year-old Chandre Delmore was healthy before he has a healthy twin, right, a young woman as well, who has just lost her brother. Now, can you explain what a compassionate release bond is? I mean, if he is granted this in the hospital, does it mean it doesn't count as a Fulton County Jail death?
You know, that issue is what we were very concerned with. Was this an attempt to really try to have his death go under the radar and release him so that it would not, in fact, be a part of this growing number of deaths inside of the jail? Again, the explanation given to the family was that he was given this compassionate release because they would be able to have greater access to him while he was in the hospital. And so it's again, unclear what the motivation was, but we're very suspicious. The whole system right now is failing the inmates. It's failing the citizens of Fulton County. And it's, you know, arguably the most dangerous jail in America right now.
So you have called for the release of prisoners, and I'm wondering if you can talk about this. Last summer, after an overcrowding crisis, officials outed more jail space. Did this solve the issue?
Clearly, it did not. So the idea that this country can, or even this county, can lock its way out of what they believe is a crisis, and it's not working. The bottom line is we have people like Chandre, who has a really not a nonviolent offense, sitting in jail for 5 months on a $5,000 bond, who should have been released. Period. That's it. And so what really needs to happen is they need to go through and look at all of the folks who are currently incarcerated and begin to release people because it is too dangerous. They should not have a death sentence because they have been accused of a crime. And that is what's happening right now in Fulton County. Essentially, if you are in Fulton County, it's at your own risk of your life that you have been arrested. It could be a traffic stop for forgetting to pay a ticket and you end up in the jail and dead. That's absurd. And that's what the experience that we have been suffering under here for not just this year. It's 10 this year, was 15 last year.
You mentioned traffic stop or, you know, dealing with the police in traffic. This is different from the jail. But today in Atlanta, the family of Johnny Holloman Sr., the 62-year-old church deacon killed during an Atlanta police officer-involved incident last month, will be viewing the body camera footage. Holloman had called the police for help himself after a minor traffic accident. His daughter said she was on the phone with her dad when a struggle took place with the officers and said she heard him say, "I can't breathe," and beg for help. What happened there? You're representing his family?
We are. And what we have been able to watch, we actually had a meeting last week with the individual he had the collision with, who filmed at least part of the encounter with Deacon Holloman and this police officer. We could hear him begging. We could hear him saying, "I can't breathe." And we could hear the aggression of this officer and the continued assault against this 62-year-old elder. And today, the city of Atlanta will provide the family access to see the video footage. Unfortunately, it's not being released to the public. But at this point, the family has to have some answers because this was a minor traffic accident where he called the police and then he ends up dead. So there's a lot going on here in Atlanta and in the state of Georgia that the country should be watching. We should all be concerned about. And, you know, the young people from the Atlanta University Center yesterday staged a protest where they marched from the Atlanta University Center to the CNN Center to try to bring about some national attention on the death of Johnny Holloman Sr. So
this is a crisis. I want to get to one last thing, and that is you're on the board for the Southern Center for Human Rights, which is organizing lawyers to help represent 61 people indicted in Georgia on racketeering charges connected to the Stop Cop City movement. The attorney general bringing these charges, RICO charges, almost as a kind of response to Donald Trump being indicted on RICO charges. But your comment on this and what these 61 people face, also some charged with domestic terrorism?
This is something, again, that we should all be concerned with. This is fascism. This is an attempt to silence people who are exercising their First Amendment right. This is an attempt to have a chilling effect on people who are organizing against police violence, who were organizing to try to stop this ongoing assault on citizens. There has been no way, there's been no indication that the training center that is being proposed would have saved the life of Johnny Holloman. No way, because it really does not center the people. It does not address the crises in the culture of Atlanta policing and American policing, which is our lives really don't matter. And so violence against us is absolutely acceptable at every level, at every aspect of the criminal justice system.
Maoli Mel Davis, I want to thank you for being with us, attorney for the family of 24-year-old Chandre Delmore, who died Sunday after he was found unresponsive in his Fulton County jail cell after spending 5 months there. Delmore is the 10th person to this year to die in custody of the Fulton County Sheriff's Office. That does it for our show. To see our podcast, video and audio podcasts, or sign up for our news, go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Are you inspired? Do you want to be? Tune in to The Arts Edge with Annie Roach, Saturdays from 6 to 7 p.m. and hear stories of artists and educators, writers, painters, actors, people from all walks of life. hear how people are making their lives happen. You can find us at CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Mountain. We're at TELUS HD Channel 7014, or you can find us on the internet at www.cjsf.ca. Tune in to The Arts Edge and be inspired.